Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. And folks, I can't emphasize enough, it is now or never. As we really start looking, as a matter of fact, today, as a matter of fact, right now, as my show is broadcasting, Mr. Venable is on his way to his first full stage debate. And I know he'll do well. I know he'll do awesome. Because when you're standing on the Constitution, as a matter of fact, I think it would be great and symbolic to have candidates actually go out, and this is something that maybe we need to start considering, going out and getting, and maybe for those who have the entrepreneurial spirit, go out and create a little canvas with an image on it, a small little canvas, something small enough that a person could stand on, like a little portable rug that you can kind of fold in half and then roll up and have the print on it durable enough to be able to sustain, you know, a heavy campaign trail or years of campaign trails, because the whole point is being symbolic. It's not necessarily being, you know, full concept of the Constitution and so forth, with going into the costly details of getting all the words in and the font right. My point is that how awesome would it be that we would have candidates, it doesn't matter whether they're Republican, constitutional, IAP, or what have you, because I think we need to start being able to differentiate who is standing on the Constitution and who is standing on agendas. Because those people who aren't willing to stand on the Constitution are not worth voting for. All they're trying to do is they're trying to ingratiate their own finances, their budget, trying to become millionaires. I mean, this is why we turn around and see that those who govern us are basically robbing us blind. And they're spending money at neck break speed. Folks, I'd love to see it if Paul Venable would actually, you know, unroll this and stand on that stage. And so it would be very symbolic, because then people, because it begs the question, what are you doing? I'm standing here on the Constitution. None of these other candidates can do so, because they don't care about your Constitution and your rights and your liberty. And so this is why we need to really start getting out there and start promoting these concepts of standing on the Constitution. Well, anyway, as you know, we just had an awesome interview with Michelle Bachmann. And so I want to get back to that question I asked you yesterday. What kind of president does America deserve? Do we deserve a narcissist that's willing to destroy America, all at the expense of your liberties, at the expense of lives? I mean, he's killing us. Blood is on Biden's hands. Trump wasn't much better. As a matter of fact, Trump, I point out to people, why was the election so steeped with fraud and all of these problems? Look at what happened. How come he didn't stand up with the Department of Justice as these states were passing laws that allowed these governors and state attorney generals and jurists and so forth within these 31 states to change their laws? He should have stepped in with, he could have stepped in with the Department of Justice and said, you can't change those laws. That's a violation of the Constitution. Could have done it then. There's all sorts of things. So my question is, did Trump actually throw us under the bus? I'm just going to say this. Ask Paul Venable what person from the Trump administration or Trump's efforts since 2024 and whatever he's doing, ask Paul Venable who's contacted him, because he's been standing up and he's been talking about getting rid of Biden by using the 12th Amendment. And you would think that Trump would make political hay out of this big time. I believe He's just doing his dance, just like George Bush did his dance. They all do their little part, and woe unto America in 2024. Woe unto us. So here's the question, America. What kind of president do you really deserve? Do you deserve, I mean, if you look at it, Trump was, he's basically a narcissist too. I mean, what kind of president do we really deserve? If we had an open, humble, and honest president like Michelle Bachmann, there's no doubt in my mind she would understand, as I say, you know, the president's responsibility in saving America is to engage the states and protect the states from, you know, doing what they need to do to force the federal government into compliance. When I say force, we're not talking about deadly force. We're talking about political force, removing people from office and so forth, and dismantling all of the dangers and the evils that they've put in place to destroy us, whether that be our debt and so forth. So anyway, just cogitate on that some more, America. Just cogitate on this comment, this question, this overhanging, what are we going to do? Because we've got to start facing that. And as a matter of fact, if you didn't know, after this election is the beginning of the presidential campaign season. Now, I would ask and I would recommend everybody reach out. Now, I understand that there are other people. I was talking to an organizer in Georgia, that there are some really good Georgia candidates and so forth that have been kind of, I'll just say, ramrodded and kind of forced out of the public eye and can't even get a job and so forth. But my question is this. Why won't you, and maybe you should reach out and try to help persuade Michelle Bachmann in doing another run for presidency? As a matter of fact, it's us or them, folks. And if we're going to have a movement in saving the Constitution, we need to make sure that we have actually people in place in 2024 from the local level, state level, and the federal level. You know, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, when we get into the resolutions coming up, I'm going to show you how those two committed a coup against the Federalists and actually created a movement that removed them. It wasn't really a coup. It was a movement that really started purging America from these unconstitutional politicians who were willing to actually aggrandize government beyond its constitutional powers. This is exactly what they were doing. They had been doing it bit by bit from the Assumption Act and so forth. And so we'll get into that in just a minute. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, the Constitution Association has their annual dinner, and it's tomorrow. And so if you go to the Constitution Association's website, you can either get your ticket or you can at least find out and get your ticket at the door, I believe. I believe you can get your tickets last minute, but reach out, get there, and do something for the Constitution tomorrow. Now, for those of you that don't have money or the availability or the ability to get out, then read the Constitution. I want to set the stage regarding the Constitution, what was really happening as we kind of moved forward as a nation from the Articles of Association to the Articles of Confederation, and what set the stage for the Constitutional Convention. But before I do, I just want to plug the usual obligatories. And so if you're looking for financial coaching and financial guidance, Gary Smith is a certified coach for financing. Give him a call at Fortitude Financial Coaching. ConstitutionEducation.us is where you can reach out and actually reach out and give Keith a hand. If you can engage him, that would be awesome. I know that he's got some health issues. Timber Nation, if you're looking for quality hardwood furnishings, especially if you want to have something or give something to somebody for Christmas, you better get into the queue quick. Stan Kluwit with RadioDustCovers.com. Yeah, if you've got equipment, you know, whether that be audio equipment, and folks, I've noticed that there are other companies now making cheap knockoffs from what Stan is doing. The quality of what Stan is doing surpasses what you're going to find in these other pieces of equipment. And in addition to that, as you know, we have this partnership with AdLocal, and it's not really, you know, anything I'm gaining on this, but every time I've needed some support, like for these campaign sites, I gave Ben Carr a call. I said, hey, Ben, what can we do for candidates? Can you create a turnkey option so that people can come right in and land on a web page and be very competitive to what they would have to pay for all of these other campaigns and so forth? All that being said, we also have a comment line, 425-270-5416, for anybody that wants to have a dialogue, conversation, or what have you. On Monday, we're going into the Constitution, so it is going to be tough, because there's so much stuff we're going to be doing going into the Constitution. We're going to read the Constitution. I'm going to highlight what the Constitution, or how it's being violated, and what the federal government is doing, and what we need to do to get the federal government back into compliance. Now, when we come back, what I'm going to do is I'll set the stage for the Constitutional Convention. I'm just going to be giving you a good highlight as to what really happened, because when I listened, and in Montana, I heard an individual talking about the Constitutional Convention, it being a runaway and all of that, and I'm just tired of misinformation regarding our Constitution and the Constitutional Convention. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when we look at what was setting the stage, what was really setting the stage was the Articles of Confederation were absolutely a problem. As a matter of fact, as soon as the Articles of Confederation were signed, that same year, they came out and said, we've got to amend this. And that's when they realized the fallacy of the design. There were several problems with the Articles of Confederation. As a matter of fact, anybody that says that the convention, the delegates that went to the convention, were out of scope, that they violated their commission, they do not know history, nor do they understand it. Because bottom line, when we look at the Declaration of Independence and we realize that government is no longer capable of doing the work that we've decided or given government to do, then the duty and responsibility falls on all to put it aside. And so what many people will tell you is that they actually put it aside when they didn't. This is why Federalist Paper 40, 41, 42, right in there is when Madison started defending these wild assertions that they were an absolute violation of what they were supposed to do, because they were told to amend. But I'm telling you, go read the scope, because Madison actually cites it right there in the Federalist Papers. What's important, folks, what is important is that when you look at the Articles of Confederation, and if you're familiar with the Constitution, you will realize that they used word for word, verbatim, when possible, in basically pulling in the Articles of Confederation, and they realigned it. Because what they did was they created a new government, and they created articles. They created one article for the legislative branch. They created one article for the executive branch. And they created one article for the judicial branch. And then they created one article that provided additional responsibilities, not powers, responsibilities for the government, for the federal government, and kind of set the stage or the milieu, the environment of the republic. This is why Article 4 states that every state in the union shall be, or the United States shall guarantee that every state in the union shall be republican in form. It's a responsibility. That's not a power. They have the responsibility to make sure. And so how are they doing in making sure that we have a republican form of government? They're doing crappy, because we see democracy and mob rule everywhere. That was the antithesis of what the framers were trying to create. And only the devil knows exactly what's going on. So anyway, back to this setup for this constitutional convention. I'm telling you, folks, that what they ended up doing was everything within their commission and everything that had kind of pointed them to this road. The huge difference, the big difference between the Constitutional Convention and the convention that created the Articles of Association as well as the Articles of Confederation, was that these men were not under the pressures of a war. They were not under the pressures of, you know, the financing and trying to break free from Britain. We had finally actually were in the process of breaking free with the Articles of Confederation, but now we were free. But we had debt that we couldn't pay. So all of a sudden, this whole Articles of Confederation looked so bleak, and the picture was so dismal, that Madison felt it urgent, absolutely urgent. Now, I talk about this a lot, that a lot of people, when you look at Madison's plan for the Virginia plan, it was really to reduce the states down to administrative functions. And that was what Madison promoted. But most people say, well, you know, Madison flip-flopped. Well, yeah, he flipped, but he never flopped. He flipped from what he thought was good to something that was better. And every time he flipped to something that was better, he stayed on it vigilantly until something actually better came along. And so he actually evolved. He never went one way and then went back to another way and went another way and back to the other way. Flip-flopping means that you literally vacillate between one position, for, against, and that was not Madison. So anybody that uses those terms that Madison was a flip-flop is actually doing you a misservice and giving you misinformation. Fact is, when Madison went through the evolutionary process of designing the Constitution and laying it out as they decided which way to go in creating this Constitution, he became a complete advocate for the Constitution. There were lots of things he was still learning. One of those things was the the convention. the Article 5 convention and so forth. I mean, that was on the table, it was off the table, and the very last minute it was put back on the table because they didn't have a mechanism. And just think about this. They started, what, at the very end of May, and they wrapped up the Constitution at the very beginning of September. And I'm just gonna poke the convention state folks in the eye. They've been doing this for decades. You would think that they would have really good founded, you know, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to do. And today they're still asking for a blank check. That's the problem, folks. It's not like we've been, you know, evolving and we've been discussing and ferreting through this process because, you know, you put things out in the open, then you can actually hash things out. This is what happened with Republic Review. As I put Republic Review out, because, folks, when you expose yourself and people come along and go, well, what about this and what about that? Then we identify what we need to do, because it forced me to go back to Madison's writings and so forth and Jefferson and Madison's resolutions to go, you know what? This is why we have to do this, and this is what we have to do in addition to this. And as that evolved, because a lot of good friends that are members of the John Birch Society, not that they are sycophants for the John Birch Society, but they believe in the Constitution, and they saw the John Birch Society as the best organization for that. Now, I'm not endorsing, nor am I condoning their decisions and behavior. The fact of the matter is, folks, when we look at the Constitutional Convention, anybody, even the John Birch Society, that tells you that this is a runaway convention, then they do not understand what was really on the table. Because had this convention not occurred, had we not had the Declaration of Independence, had they not had the commission that allowed them to do what they thought was necessary to fixing the problems. And this is why what you won't hear from a John Bircher or anybody that speaks out against the Constitutional Convention of 1787, that it was anybody that asserts that it's a runaway convention, then they're hiding one fact and one piece of information. That every state, because the anti-federalists use this as their biggest charge, and this is why, and this is the big defense against the Con today, is because that was a runaway convention. And folks, that's a lie. Every state that ardently divided over whether it was out of scope or not, voted on it, and it was overwhelmingly, each in every state, there wasn't one state that actually voted just by a margin of one to say it was out of scope. In other words, in each state where they said, was it or was it in scope or out of scope, every state voted on it as in scope. The Constitutional Convention was in scope. But today we want to rehash history and say it's out of scope. Hold on here. They settled that argument. Why are you trying to resurrect it, other than the fact that you're just trying to use that as fear? The reality is, folks, that the Convention of States has been at this game for decades, and they have not been into this open, you know, I'll just say this open environment in discussing what we really need to be doing. Because had they actually done that, then they probably would have been able to come up with Republic Review. But they didn't. Yours truly did. And so, you know, all I can say is their loss is my gain. Actually, their loss is our gain, not my gain. Glory be to him. And the fact is that if we're working on our own personal or self agendas, then we're a part of the problem. And that's exactly what you see with the Convention of States. But you also see that exact same thing with the John Birch Society. Who are they supporting? They're supporting themselves. They're not supporting the Constitution. This goes back to that theory I told you. When we talk about corporations, when we talk about businesses, 501, what have yous, every entity within the United States must support and must be aligned with the U.S. Constitution. There's no such thing as a private entity. When you go to the state to create a business or an entity, the only private entity that you can create is either a church, and you don't need the state to do that. You don't need the state to do that, but you have to be able to found it on basic, or not constitutional, on the actual principles and doctrines of the faith that you're doing. Because bottom line, you know, there's going to be Satan worshiper churches and so forth. There always will be. There has been. Because even under Adam and Eve with his children, they started worshiping Satan. Fact is, folks, there's no such thing as a private entity when an entity is created in the United States other than clubs and religions. And they basically appeal to a very set people. I mean, whether it's a women's club, men's club, a black club, whatever race club you want to make it, that's a club. And so you do have a right to create, you know, exclusivity and association, you know, as long as you're not doing criminal activity, those types of things, I don't think the state should care. But everything else, anything that's doing commerce or business, it cannot be private. We'll be right back after these promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
So let me just wrap up on this concept of private association. Masonic lodges, if you understand what they are, that's a private club. And the fact is that even churches today require a 501c3. In other words, you have to go and say, we're creating a club, we're creating an institution that is nonprofit. In other words, we're not out here to make money. And so now you have to prove that. I'm telling you that the power was not given to even states to be able to do that. Now, it's one thing to register with a state that you have a faith and to provide, because there, even in the old days, back in the early 1800s, institutions still provided government with what they were doing and those types of things. But as long as what you did was copacetic with the Constitution, there was no problem. But creating a religion and or an organization that was antithetical to the Constitution, such as a Islamic faith, Islamic area, you know, like these private Islamic states in Pennsylvania and so forth, those are violations of the Constitution because they fail to support the Constitution. And a state cannot allow another state that allows anything other than the governing laws of that state within its own borders. They don't have the authority to do that.
So anyway, as we kind of look at, and let me get back to this, this leading to the Constitution, the big difference between all other efforts prior to the Constitution and the uniqueness about the Constitution was the fact that they invited the Lord and His hand in the process. Now, there was prayer and so forth, but in Congress, in the Continental Congress, but they didn't have a concerted effort to seek Him in what they were doing. There was a little bit of urgency in creating the Continental Congress and what they had to do, their guidelines and so forth. And so, yeah, they kind of prayed as, you know, as they went along, but it wasn't a concerted effort in seeking His guiding hand in creating a governing document that would serve His purposes as well as theirs. And so when we look at this Constitution, I want you to understand that Satan uses all sorts of ways to tarnish and actually put a bad light on this Constitution. Don't believe it and don't allow it. I am here to tell you that when we look at globalism, when we look at the governance of mankind, and this is why I say this all the time, that the Constitution is Scripture. It is the Scripture for the governance of man, not the salvation of mankind, but the governance of man. How we should be governing ourselves and how we should have a just and free society. One that allows people to fail as well as succeed. But no one is to be given an advantage over another. And government cannot be involved in assisting and giving advantages to those who they favor. So as we go into Constitution Day tomorrow, I want you to keep this in mind, that what we have is God's plan for globalism, which is why they actually put in Article 4 the ability for any state in the world. It is not caveated that only states that are created under the states or through U.S. territories, any state in the world can petition to become a state in the United States. And I believe it took this long of time for, you know, actually, I believe that by the beginning of the 20th century, the early 1900s, where states were finally getting to a point where people really wanted to be free, Central America and so forth, that's where we see all of the, you know, the banana revolutions and revolts and so forth. And we held the Constitution back because what should have happened was those states should have actually appealed to us and petitioned and were and should have been allowed to go through the process of becoming a state. Where would the world be today if states would have been able to basically get on the path of becoming a territory and then becoming a state? Well, the United States wouldn't have 50 states today, folks. We would probably have over 100. And as a matter of fact, we wouldn't have the UN, and we wouldn't have had regime change. And as a matter of fact, I would probably say we'd have well over 100, because states would start realizing that when you create a union and you go in to become a productive member of this governing society, wars go away. Those types of contentions go away. And there are processes to fix and remedy the differences and problems and so forth. And this is why this Constitution is so superior to any form of government ever to exist on the face of this earth. No society has had this level of liberty and the opportunity of individual sovereignty to this level ever, ever. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, communist, and put that in your pipe and smoke it, you know, Democrats and all of these people that are anti-Constitution. This is why, if you really understand the Constitution, why they're afraid of the Constitution, because they have no right to be here. If you can't support the Constitution, you can't be a U.S. citizen. if you're an Islamic and so forth, you cannot be a U.S. citizen. So anyway, we've kind of set the stage for tomorrow, and hopefully you go in with the humility and the approach of looking at this scripture as how we should be moving forward, standing on the Constitution. Now, one of the most fundamental tenets of, I will just say, civil society is contract law. It is fundamental to human society and how society honors it. And how we honor it or how we treat it is an indication for anybody to determine how moral and just our society has become. So when we start looking at debt and we start looking at bankruptcy, because, you know, the Constitution has the standard of bankruptcy, that we are all supposed to have the same opportunities. If we prove that we've got debt that we can't pay, then we have a right to be able to go through bankruptcy. And there are costs of doing that. I mean, you can't get a loan. You become, you know, destitute, but if we were following the process, it would hurt to go through bankruptcy. I know people, and I personally know people, that have gone through bankruptcy and it really didn't hurt them. And as a matter of fact, as time has moved on, bankruptcy has become almost a joke, because there's all sorts of ways people scam, whether that be creditors or what have you. But you are susceptible to, you know, high cost, high interest costs, those types of things through reputable loans. But the fact is that bankruptcy is a right, and the uniform standard of bankruptcy must be applied. So this is why, because Edward or Charles, I forget, I'm really bad with names, but I've talked to him before via email and so forth. He left me a voice message a while ago. I think it was like 2 years ago when we started getting engaged. And, you know, this has been a highlight and, you know, something that's absolutely frustrated him. And I'd love to talk to him about, you know, why, you know, some of the details of this. But bottom line, folks, nobody is talking about why are student loans not a part of this bankruptcy process? Why is it that it's protected? Why is it that you become shackled? Not only you become shackled, but any your inheritance and anybody that inherits your estate becomes shackled to this exact same death. This is an abomination in finance. It's an abomination in contract law. If you understand contract law is with the individual. When that individual dies, regardless of the circumstances, that contract is dead. How is it something that transfers to somebody that had no knowledge or no ability to sign or refute it? This is evil. But the fact is, when we look at what Biden is doing with allowing and forgiving this debt, this is equally evil, because he's using this as a tool, just like allowing the prices to come down and easing what you have to pay going into the election. That's just a ploy, folks. And everybody, I don't even have to tell you that's a ploy. We all know that this is what happens right before a major presidential or a major election period. Usually it's a presidential. But now Congress is so divided that they're doing anything and everything to even protect Congress. Wow. I mean, seriously, it used to be ebb and flow by 4 years. But now they have to do this, and they have to play this to basically maintain the level of control for the progressives in Congress. Go back and look at the history of Congress with the president, and you will notice that if you have a Republican president, 9 times out of 10, you have a Democratic Congress. And then if you have a Democratic president, you have a Republican Congress. Usually, at the midterm of whoever won the presidency, the midterm, the other party would actually gain the advantage. But I digress. Let me, you know, we can cover marriage as a part of contract law, even healthcare. And that's what I want to get into, healthcare, because we have an obligation on healthcare. And I'll talk to you about that in a civil society. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so healthcare, how is that something that actually falls into an obligation? Healthcare. So we actually have an obligation in an enlightened society. It is contrary to do something to your body that would be harmful. As a human being, we should cognitively, and it's illogical to think that drinking alcohol or, you know, consuming anything that would be harmful would be acceptable in our society. It would be taking, you know, a risk that we should actually say, you know, I can't do this because what am I going to do if my liver fails? Now, see, it took us a long time as an enlightened society to come to the knowledge of what we consume and our environment and how it affects us. It's like living in a wasteland. We know the cancers and all these other types of things are under power lines. We know the toxicity of living under power lines, large transmission power lines. Seriously. I mean, it's been kind of proven. They've had to move schools, and they've had to move housing. It's the same thing, you know. When technology, it's just the same with the cell phone technology and cell phone towers. We're now discovering the damage that's coming from these things in our environment. So we have an obligation to try to live in an environment that is not harmful to ourselves, because if not, then do we have a right to basically go and say, hey, please fix me, especially if you don't have the money? Now, insurance itself is a scam. Why is it a scam? Well, it's nice, and if you look at insurance, this actually came up in a conversation with a Georgia leader that I deal with. And so in this conversation, the question was, is insurance actually legitimate? Well, the government has no relationship with insurance at all. Insurance was really an individual thing. When people came to the colonies in the 1600s, the first insurance company, because the oldest insurance company in the world is Lloyd's of London. And there were people that were underwritten because if something would have happened to them, you know, because they had this future, they had this heir to the estate or what have you, they wanted to make sure that, you know, they were taken care of, or their children or what have you. So long story short, individuals would go in and buy insurance, but for the government to come along and mandate that you have to buy insurance, it benefits the insurance companies, it benefits the growth of insurance. Come on, folks. Are we that stupid? We have responsibilities in an enlightened society. We should be held and accountable to our responsibilities. You make a mistake, you have to pay for it. Ah, but see, there it is. Nobody wants to have to pay for mistakes. So we've allowed ourselves to debase ourselves because we've tried to get out, and we've actually adopted the paradigm of how government has been basically working and working to actually alleviate the consequences of sin or bad behavior. And that's exactly how Michelle Bachmann put it yesterday. And I want to point out that I've been saying this for, well, since the 80s, since the late 80s, when it came to me that we were in the midst of a revolution that was trying to decimate the family and all that is good in our society and promote all that is bad. Because it became very evident that in the late 80s, the government was doing everything it could to remove the consequences of sin. And when I say consequences of sin, whether that be an abortion, unwanted pregnancy, or whether that be, you know, trying to get you into a homosexual marriage, not to trying to, but supporting this concept of homosexuality, because we, in the late 80s, we all of a sudden, and I was telling people, watch, they're going to demand the same rights. They're going to want full marriage. They're going to want to have kids. They want to have the consequences of their behavior removed. They want it. And I point out, you know, come on, folks. There is no way anybody becomes a child in a homosexual relationship, a true byproduct of that relationship. The only way a person can be born or put into a homosexual relationship is through society to intervene and remove the consequence. Because, folks, when you start engaging in behavior and practices that are absolutely contrary to actual procreation, then you have to live with the consequences of your lifestyle, of your decisions, of what you are doing. And here we are as a society bending over backwards trying to help these folks that are caught up in this trap of sin and perversion, to help them feel more humane. That is evil, and we're participating in that. But how refreshing was it to hear Michelle Bachmann actually say that? I didn't even want to, you know, take away the time on expounding upon, you know, how I stated this in my book in 2013 and how I kind of came to this conclusion as I started witnessing this in the late 80s. And actually, it was galvanized in the early 90s because of some things that were personally happening in my life. One of the things I want to talk about as well is because when we start looking at this faith and this, what society is doing, here is a very nefarious thing that society has just recently done. In San Francisco, sexual assault victim who basically had her DNA submitted for the crime as a victim, all of a sudden, you know, becomes arrested because they used her DNA. They identified the DNA and they had access from the victim's DNA to basically, you know, it all goes in and there's no parsing, there's no separation. And as a matter of fact, as soon as they have the evidence, then they can use that against you. Folks, if you have your DNA out there, then you better not commit a crime. Because if you leave any DNA behind in the commission of that crime, you will be prosecuted. Because right now, that's exactly how society is. And society is going down that path. A lot of people say, well, that's good. That's great. Folks, government has no right to demand and use DNA as a registry in controlling society. They don't have that right. That's not within the constitutional authority, the constitutional powers. And as a matter of fact, it invades your privacy. You have a right to be secure in your person. And they can't take that away by saying, well, you have to, with the military having to enter your DNA into their database. Come on. Anyway, let's move on because there's a few other topics and I only got a couple more minutes, but I just want to kind of lay these things out here so that we can start really, you know, looking at our society, whether we're enlightened or not, because on Monday we're diving into reading the Constitution. Now, here's a question for you. Should we really start reconsidering the roles, the gender roles, or at least the standards of genders in our society? And here's a good storyline. A female bagger handler at the New Orleans airport has died after getting her hair caught in the belt of a loader. She was basically a baggage handler, and so somehow her hair got caught in that. Now, if you are in an environment that's, you know, basically it puts you at risk or what have you, then I truly believe that there should be standards. You know, is it the bagger's fault or is it their fault because they didn't have standards? And I believe that, you know, if you want to let women do certain things or if you want to let men do certain things, then they need to do things to meet the standards, like short hair. You go into the military, there's a reason why they cut your hair. The problem is they don't cut the hair of the women. But all of a sudden, those same standards don't exist. There's a reason why your hair is cut, and it's for hygiene and for other factors. It basically strips you of your identity. Now everybody in the room looks the same other than your skin tone. This is why in the Marine Corps we looked at, you know, you had dark Marines and you had light Marines, and then you had really light Marines or what have you. And you had these phases of green, and that's it. It was a dark green or a light green, medium green, whatever. But we were all green because you got stripped of your identity and it forced you to become a part of a unit and unification and unit building. So when we look at, and it actually and absolutely worked in the Marine Corps and in the military, at least it used to. Nowadays, it's like, you know, they allow identities and individuals and safe spaces and I have to question, you know, whether we're going to be able to fight a war again, because we've gone down the path of Rome, of allowing ourselves to become too sensitive to the business of war. Folks, we need to start really reevaluating what roles our societies are supposed to have and what standards for the roles regarding gender in our society. We need to really evaluate these things because they were there for a reason. They are there for a reason. Another thing I wanted to share with you, because this popped up as well. In the United States, I've told you over and over again that reparations is illegal. Poland is now demanding $1.3 trillion of war reparations from Germany. Wow. Folks, this is a very dangerous path, a very dangerous road that they're going down. And so we have to start really looking at, as a society, as a world society, do we really want to go down this path? It is, and this is happening for a reason, and all lights are on America. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.